That's a bit better.
Yeah, you can just look so
good. Go back a bit, back a bit, back a bit. There you go. Let's do the Joey Diaz shirt, Rogan.
Oh,
that's gonna come through. Oh shit.
Oh shit. Okay, so where were we up to? We were talking about
Frenzel.
No, we're talking about Jackie O and
yes.
What part of this was it up to? Maybe take it back like 30 seconds so we can just catch up.
I know that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going back in.
Can promote good new Australian talent, and you don't. So, and on a festival circuit such as that one, which we play constantly,
yeah.
And we've been doing so for 10 years, when we go out and we see
you got to get over it, because there's going to be different types of music for different sort of people. That's why you guys have been around for 10 years, because you appeal to a certain group of people. Otherwise, you'd be finished long ago. And so does Shannon Noel, and so do pop stars, and so everyone's got different tastes.
Exactly. How is Bardo going these days?
Well, they split up.
Well, who cares about Bardo?
They're back working with in the same shoe shop that they were working in day before they joined Popstar.
Who cares, though? Who cares? We're not talking about Bardo.
You know what I care about? I care about the fact that there are bands like You and I, good Australian bands, that are being dropped from their labels right now because to make room for not only the Australian Idol winner, and I know I'm not talking about pop stars right now, and it doesn't affect you directly, we're not just talking about the Australian Idol winner, which is all fair enough. We're talking about six of the losers that are now being signed to these major record companies to make it, for what? Like for these completely short-term careers,
yep.
So the record company can make a quick buck.
I agree.
These bands aren't being nurtured.
I agree.
And for us to get up on stage and say, pop star, a lot of it. I'll stand by that, and I don't think that should be offensive.
I don't care about Australian Idol or pop stars. I only care about Jackie and embarrassment that she had at the hands of your band.
Well, Jackie, I'm sure that you're tough enough to handle a little bit of heckling from time to time. I mean, everyone that gets
not
on
really.
Stage...
I got to say, you know, I am actually... I should toughen up, but I can't, and I do take things to... You know, I get quite offended by it and upset. So I can't help the fact that you really offended me. I know I should toughen up in this industry, but I can't. It does... It's, you know, it's pretty hurtful, that's all.
Well, I'm very sorry if you felt hurt, Jackie. It wasn't intended to make you personally feel in any way uncomfortable up there on stage. We were up there to do our show. This is what we do. We basically, you know, I can't see very many people that are championing the cause of young Australian bands that are
trying to get by. By the way, Dan, before you go any far, not once ever in my 15-year radio history has anyone... ever put any CD from your band in front of me and said, hey, how's that playing these guys? Or how's that speaking to these guys?
Why would you?
It's just never happened.
So what's your point, sorry?
Well, whoever's looking after you isn't putting yourself in front of the right people through the major...
No. I think that you are the wrong people because you're not going to be playing our music anyway. If you have ever listened to any of our records, most of it's completely radio-proof.
Yeah, well, no, there's no such thing anymore.
As radio-proof?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be the judge, I think.
You'll be the judge.
There's a few things that, you know, that no radio station will play.
Yeah, well, no doubt there is, but you've got to have something that someone would,
Basically, I mean, what are you saying that without your support, the band can have a career in this industry?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, don't pick fights with people that are like a female in the Northern Territory. That's what you're doing, mate.
Let me tell you, with the fact that she's female,
me say, if it was me up there, it would have been on strong, for young and old from the start.
Oh, okay. Now, for a start, I'd just like to say, Jackie, at the after-show party of the Discovery, were you aware that one of your security guards threatened our guitar tech with threat of violence, as you're doing now, Kyle? It would have been on for young and old, Did you know about that? The security guard came up and threatened us with actual violence? Did you endorse that? You endorse that. You would have come and punched on because we said something about pop stars and Australian Idol.
No,
because you felt like somehow we defended you or not giving you enough time to speak up. You were 9 hours late for your show.
Well, a chance to say something. Like, it's so rude to just come in, say and play the guitar over me. I was only going to talk for like 10 seconds, seriously.
And when you talk about rudeness, can you please just explain why your people are ringing up our record company telling us that you're going to bury our band?
We're not
going
to bury
your band.
Never getting
played on stereo again?
But yeah, probably won't get played.
It never did get played.
It got played on Triple M.
That's because it was pretty much
it got played at bloody midnight so they can fulfill their Australian content. It's bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
you're so bitter, you might as well just take a new career. You're
okay.
Okay, see you later. Goodbye. Man. What a cock.
So yeah, as soon as
and
he
how
felt,
he finishes, what a cock.
Come
what
on,
a, what a fucking tool
it's
bag.
I think Kyle, like, oh, I'm not going to sit here and, like, I'm just some dickhead who, you know, can play a few chords in a guitar and I'm going to be, like, bad Kyle, but what a fuckwit.
Fucking A.
Straight up.
Concur.
I'll tell a story. A bit of an anecdote from working in the music industry. The little flirtation that I had. So, for people, this probably gives me an opportunity to give a little background of myself. As we were talking about before, I had the recording studio and stuff, but it was very much an indie kind of setup. I was dealing with bands that were self-funding themselves. I was very rarely dealing with signed bands.
I heard that once you accepted payment of a guitar because they had no cash.
Oh, yeah, totally,
we've got
yeah.
that guitar.
It doesn't get more indie than
time,
that, man.
Dude,
it doesn't get more indie than that.
That was not a pre-arranged thing.
Yeah,
I just didn't get paid for a session. And then, like, months after the fact, I think that the band felt bad. Well, they told me. They called me. This band that I recorded shortchanged me on the final invoice.
Do you remember who it was?
Don't. Yeah,
I won't mention who that. No. And they're not an entity. they're not an entity anymore. But it doesn't really matter. It's just like indie punk band in Sydney, which are known of having a very shoestring budget.
I mean, the ounce of pot ain't going to buy itself.
And it was a case of
It's not. They got to buy an ounce of pot, man.
No. And it wasn't a case of they didn't have the money for what they agreed to do. It turned out that their session blew out in terms of, they're a bit over eager in what they wanted to get done in the time. And usual story when a band overstretches in the studio, it's usually the vocals are the last thing that are recorded and they've run out of time and they haven't recorded the vocals yet. So they need more time to do the vocals. And you've spent all this time getting awesome fucking drum, bass, guitar sounds down. Everyone's super excited about it, but the money's run out. And what fucking use is it unless you've recorded the vocals? So it was a case of I gave these guys sort of some pro bono time, an advance on their studio time to be able to finish
just,
their record.
Look at
their
that
record.
Picture of Zoid. What a sick cunt. Look at that.
That's in front of a Neve. That's a fucking...
What was that, Big Jesus burger?
Yeah, that's BJB. That's now
BJB.
The fine.
Sickest studio.
I think that desk has gone down to Tasmania and the rest of the studio is actually being hocked online.
Was that not there anymore?
No, it's gone.
That was a sick studio. I was there, and the
fashion
guy,
house,
and the guy from the presets walked in.
Yeah,
when we were recording our demo for Age of Medicine, the guy from
the presets.
The
time that I
in.
Worked there, that photo was taken.
Bullshit.
I got to meet some fucking. I got to meet Birds of Tokyo. I got to meet an artist called Whiteley. Who's fucking an awesome fucking indie Cindy Muso. Got to meet a lot of fucking really cool bands there.
Did you do Delta or one of them?
That's the anecdote I'm actually coming to.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yeah. So while I was working there, I was the guy that was new, and the new guys always took the projects that no one else wanted to take. It's the usual, story. The newbie does the work that no one else wants to do.
You were the coffee boy that emptied the bins and shit.
But not that low.
No, but in that, equivalent.
The equivalent of emptying the bins was being the engineer for Brian McFadden.
I remember.
So, yeah, Brian McFadden was recording his album and he'd picked this studio to record at.
Brings a Maddie with him.
I was the assistant I was basically assistant engineer to the main engineer at this time, and I was sort of pushing to take on my own sessions, and I don't think anybody else wanted to work on this, and so they gave it to me. And it wasn't actually like a full hardcore, like record a whole band session. It was just record guitars and some keyboards. It was like an overdub session. So they already had the rhythm beds already recorded, and they were just doing overdubs. So, yeah, it was, guitars and stuff. Long story short, I'm working with Brian McFadden in the recording studio for about a week doing these overdubs and whatnot. And after two or three days, it was at the time that Brian was with Delta Goodrum, and Delta Goodrum came into the studio and, you know, was there for a couple of the sessions. And, you know, I was this guy that was this, like, punk rock engineer that it was weird, you know. This is real celebrity. I'm dealing with somebody that might actually sell more than fucking 20 albums, you know, what I'm working on. It was kind of cool, but at the same time, the punk rock ethic in me was like, you know, this is pretty, you know, manufactured cheese pop. It's not the kind of thing that I want to do. But you know what? Maybe I can impart my punk rock ethic onto something and make it a little less cheesy than what it could be. And it was guitars, real guitars that we were recording.
Show the bottom half only. Cut it off at the neck.
You know what I find really funny about...
So this is the chick that was with Brian.
Yeah. And she came into the studio and...
Nice mouse cursor, man.
Look, long story short, she was really down to earth. She was heaps cool. She was heaps cruisy.
Just put that down,
like,
there.
I don't know what you would expect from somebody like that, but heaps cool. And I've had a couple of brushes of celebrity in my time in the music industry. There was a time where I was working at a very famous mastering studio that has a lot of the more high end of town frequenting their facility. And... Look, I'll just name names. I heard the front door ring at this particular place, and I answered it, and it was Nikki Webster.
Oh,
and very young Nikki Webster, like, you know, I think pre Olympics 2000.
No way.
What?
Nikki no Webster. Way. No way.
Oh well, yeah, she's yeah. Seven? She was like, young as
wow.
And I opened the door and. It was a very young girl, and I knew who Nikki Webster was at this point.
Like Nikki Webster was the chick that did the opening ceremony for the Olympics, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. And even before that, she'd had some... I can't even remember what her big hits were. It doesn't even fucking matter. Anyway, I answer the door. I'm like, oh, hey, can I help you? Do you know where you need to go? And, like, trying to be, like, you know, friendly. And I swear to God, it was like... This was the reaction. This was like, no, I know exactly where I need to go. Thank you. Like, no, would not look me in the eye. Like, nose in the air, like something off a cartoon. Oh, I'm fine. I know exactly where to go. Thank you.
Belvedere.
Maybe that's a good thing for somebody that's that famous at that younger age. That, you know, she's that confident that she can just anybody that opens a door that she hasn't met before, she can have that much confidence to go, you know what, I'm fine, mate, you know what,
like, she
know
said that. Thank you,
yeah, like, but it did take me aback a little bit that it was like, wow, fuck, man, you're a little girl and you're like fucking yeah,
turning your nose up and shit. You don't even know what you're turning your nose up at, you fuck. You know your parents and your auntie and uncle, you dickhead. Fuck you. Oh, fuck. I hate little shit kids. Man, I love kids too, but little shit kids, fuck you.
Oh, little shit kids, you can fucking eat.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, when you're a celebrity at that younger age, you're not really experiencing the life of a normal kid, you know? How can you really develop into a normal person? You know,
but, okay.
Mature adult.
In saying that, if you get like the Nikki Webster at 25 and a normal kid at 25, the normal kid's going to have a lot more skills that Nikki doesn't have. But Nikki's going to have a fucking exactly the same, a lot more skills than this kid doesn't have. It's just different realms of knowledge and learning, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to worry about getting a job and shit, then why the fuck would you? I'm not saying that was her case. I'm just as an example, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Different, completely different vibe. If that's what she was like at that young... Obviously, man.
It shows you that it's such a fleeting thing, like, especially that whole, like, you know, pop stars, X Factor fame. Man, you gotta fucking put your claws into something that might have some longevity further than a few years. I think Nikki Webster's got like a dance studio
in Parramatta Road.
Go home.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
So like that's a pretty good, you know, plan, you know. You've still got enough name recognition that if you had something like that, like a dance studio, it was like, oh, Nikki Webster must.
Oh, and she danced at the Olympic Games.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a wise move, is trying to find some kind of bank rather than. And I guess Sophie Monk managed to pull out. She did movies. She did some pretty big, you know, big Hollywood movies, and probably got enough bank to survive without having to work for the rest of her life.
Can I ask something? And I want to ask both of you. What's your claim to fame?
My claim to fame. Oh,
what's your one moment where you met a famous person?
I met a famous person.
Or a larger than life character or whatever the fuck you want
to. Oh, there's been a few, really.
Give me one.
Probably the biggest one that we had, that was like, holy shit, man, I can't believe it.
Those stories were one that I would pull out as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We were off chops, right? And,
no doubt.
We went to Pumpkins concert. I can't remember. Was it Melancholy Tour?
Oh, you went to the good tour.
Yeah.
I went to the acoustic rock show tour.
Three drummers. they had three drummers.
Fucking Corgan, fuck you.
We were fucked, man. Absolutely fucked. And we went and we had floor tickets and we were a little bit late and we were like, oh man, let's get there. And we'll barely see. And we got to like where we thought we were supposed to go and we weren't sure. We were like, oh man, we've got to get in. It's about to start. And we went up to some dude and we were so fucked. We were like, hey man, do you know where this is? Do you know how to get into Pumpkins? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, Pumpkins. And I'm like, yeah, Pumpkins, fucking, yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, just through there. And we went in. And anyway, so it started. And we're like, oh, there's that dude. He's got the same T-shirt on. That was the dude we just spoke to, and it was the guitarist. Was his name James?
James Ear.
And he was the dude who we asked for. Oh, fuck
trot. Off! And how do I not know this? Yeah. That was my favorite band for like 12 years. Really?
No, you intense, skipped man. Over a couple of.
Was it like a Pepe Le Pew T-shirt?
We didn't know where we were going, and we weren't sure what like door we were meant to go in. And we were...
Was it a Horden Entertainment Centre?
The Entertainment Centre.
Okay, yeah.
And we were, like, asking the bouncers what if we were meant to be going into the right place. And for some reason, it was, like, this older lady that was the bouncer that was on the door that we were going in. And she was looking at our ticket and she was looking at us and she was, I can't remember exactly what she was saying, but she was giving us a hard time about something. And it was James, who we didn't realize was James Ear at the time, as you say, came up and said to this lady, these guys are all right. Don't worry about them. Let them in. And then that's when we looked at him and we're like, thanks, man. Cheers. And that's basically all we said to him. And we were, as you say, we were a little bit inebriated at the time. We didn't quite know what was going on. And we were just thankful that somebody helped us get in the place.
Oh.
He'd come up to us and he'd say, hey, these guys are all right. And like, we did shake his hand. He's just like, yeah, man. Yeah, thanks, man. But we shook his hand not knowing who it fucking was.
Let me ask you, on Pumpkins.
And then we were in the show and then, as you said, he came out on stage and we're like, dude. And that's when we both looked at each other and like, the person that just let us, helped us get past security was fucking James Ear from fucking the Smashing Pumpkins. And it was like, fuck! And it's like, it almost made the moment cooler not knowing what was going down at the moment, because we probably could have fucking... fagged out.
I would have
been like, dude, you're the fucking...
You're my favourite.
And the fact that, like, it probably would have been a more memorable moment for him as well, the fact that we weren't like, fucking, like, we were like these confused fucking, you know, dizzy-eyed dudes not fucking being able to get into the show, and he's helped us, you know, like, that's his better experience of being like, oh, you're the, like, guitarist from, like, that band.
Let me selfie.
Hey, what?
But we were fucking kicking ourselves hard after it, not fucking realising what we'd just gone through.
Favourite Pumpkin song? Quickly, favourite Pumpkin song. Three, So don't think about it too much. Just go off the
probably off melancholy. Yeah. Fucking. And so that's the thing. I don't fucking.
So many, names. But just pick one.
The names are hard.
Okay, I've got one.
Through the Eyes of Ruby, I think it's called.
That goes.
With the piano at the start.
Bling, blong, ping, ding, bong. Yeah.
Wrap me I up believe in nowhere. And I believe in everything.
And that snare roll.
You believe in the build up, you know, the bridge bit.
The night has come to hold your tongue. Is that the bridge?
Okay, can I say my favorite Pumpkin song?
Long too.
Quiet.
Oh,
yeah.
Such a good one. Off,
I've been sleeping. Siamese
dream. Like the
couldn't tell a soul. The drumming in that. Ding
ding ding. Your mind is. I got one from. I had all their albums.
Keep talking. I'm going to bring out a CD that I want to show you.
I had probably one of my. Favorite song was two. If I'm gonna be a dickhead, like fuck you guys, I'm gonna choose two. But it was Bodies. Bodies, which is the second song of the second CD of Melancholy.
Very good.
And then, fucking amazing. And then, it was off Siamese Dream.
Mayonnaise.
Fucking A. My favorite song of all time. Mayonnaise, I couldn't think of their name. Mayonnaise.
One of the first songs I learned on guitar.
Oh, man. Mayonnaise. Awesome. I still listen to it and I fucking melt, man. It's an awesome song. Fucking sick.
There's another one, man, off Pisces. And it's
Pisces Isocaris.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
And it's fucking like full fuzz guitar.
Like all of the.
It's fucking tang. And there's only a couple of songs on that album that I dig. And wasn't that like a tribute to Kurt Cobain or some shit?
I thought they didn't get on with each other, but I don't know. Do you know that room?
It was actually a bit of a stab at Kurt.
There's a few songs on that are like fucking tang.
Pumpkins reminds me of something, and I, just very quickly, I'm not going to crap on for too long. My mate Dino, sick cunt, and he lives up in Coffs Harbour.
One of the producers of The Age of Menace.
Oh, which one of the guys that's done the one of the Age of Menace video clips, yeah. A good friend of mine since kindergarten.
That's the connection here, yeah.
Yeah, like, fuck, sickest dude. I love him, sick gun. And he was living out at Coffs Harbour, like north of Sydney. And we went and bought the Tenacious D when it first came out, the Tenacious D DVD. Remember when the DVD, I don't know how long ago that was, but like I was like in high school and like, I was, fairly young. And then the Tenacious D DVD came out. We went and bought it from Sanity. I remember the whole story. From Sanity or one of the Sanity. And we went and bought the Tenacious D DVDs. So we took it back to his house and then we put it in. And there was the two DVD part. And the first one was all the video clips and a few interviews or some shit. And the second one was all like, I don't know if you've seen that Tenacious D DVD. It was a dual DVD. And the second one was a bunch of skits.
HBO skits.
HBO skits that were fucked up. The one where they take acid and the poo scene and shit.
Butt baby.
The butt baby one.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't realize that's what it was at the time. Because when we put the second CD in, guess what's in the second CD? Who's the boss? The boss.
Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen, right? And we turn it on and put in the DVD, put it in an Xbox, didn't have a DVD player, put it in an Xbox, right? And it was a fucking, the second CD, the DVD, it was a Bruce Springsteen live concert. And it had the wrong data on the DVD. It was a Tenacious D DVD.
No way.
With a Bruce Springsteen concert on it. No shit, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, fully. I'll never forget it, because we were just like,
you want to be fucking
like, we were stoners. Hard. We were like 16, 17, stoning hard. And we were like,
How far are you watching it going? They're going somewhere.
No, because
there's going to be some massive punchline.
It was
here. The
whole half of his concert on the second DVD of the Tenacious D DVD.
Man, I remember
just like firewood. When we were,
awesome.
That's not a bad.
I can't even get into it.
Really?
Nah, fuck that.
an iconic American songwriter.
Yeah, I love Bruce.
Iconically, yeah, he's Bruce great. Yeah, he's sick. You know. Can't get into him, eh?
I remember when I was on a school trip in Thailand, and we were fucking with, we were in rooms with our mates, and we were like, we want to watch some tits. And we ended up going to the night markets, and we were like, fuck it, oh, we got Body of Evidence. And fucking something, other piece of shit.
Madonna.
Oh,
and Willem Dafoe.
Fucking spin it. Like, he fucked her in the ass on the floor or something.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's why we got it.
Candle
right?
wax.
That's why we got it.
Oh, that's right.
That's why we got it. Yeah. Because we're like, oh, man, at least we can watch that. We put it in and we fucking holed up everywhere so people couldn't see what we were fucking doing. Watched like an hour of fucking shit, boring fucking story, because we were like 12. We're like, well, we don't even know what's going on. And then it got to the bit where she's going to get her tits out, everybody crowds around the fucking TV. Goes all purple. It's like
edited.
Yeah.
That was Jesus saying
All of them were just, it's just like, you know, might as well just put in Bruce Springsteen in those bits.
How about no?
I would have been about 10. I would have jerked off about 20 times to that movie, Body of Evidence. I
don't
know. That was my jerk off movie for at least a year when I was younger.
I remember you brought back that fucking redacted version that had all the purple screens over the fucking...
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, like, we were hanging out.
Even the suggestion of Madonna getting her cougs out
was good enough, eh?
Purple, yeah, totally.
So wait, purple boobs? Like, I think I can see it. And you couldn't?
I had cliffhanger as well. I got cliffhanger. And I saw cliffhanger.
You're not gonna die.
Did you ever go to, a hotel that had a porn channel?
Yes, and in Australia, all of them.
But you'd switch...
I was talking about Mirage had porn.
And that would... But if you would switch to the channel, it would give you like half a second of unscrambled porn just as you switched to the channel, and then it would scramble
it. It's like, my sixth.
But if you just switch back to another channel and straight back to it, quick enough.
The channel for me, man. Don't stop.
Just that half a second is all I need.
You know, what's really awkward about the hotel porno movies? When you claim it against the company you work for, and you explain it to the accounts chick.
Really? You've actually got to give it a reason?
Yeah, you claimed an adult movie? Yeah, I did. You got to pay for that. Fuck. All right.
Really?
First ever trip. Oh, it was whatever.
You can be in my...
Judge me,
movie.
I don't care. That was the sickest nipples ever.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, let's make our own movie. Posted in all the hotels.
Man, I charge cheap.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? This is entitled Epic Cast. This has got to be the most epic podcast that we've ever done. And that
so far, it's definitely the longest.
And out of any podcast I've ever seen, I don't know if any podcast I've ever seen has stretched out like this. You know what? We're going to upload this shit unedited. No cutting out, nothing.
Fuck, don't do that. I said some questionable shit.
No, we'll edit it. Don't worry. We'll make it snappy.
There's a couple of bits where it's we might need to. So.
We went for a ciggy at one point, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. Rolling, so we can't leave it unedited. So that's right. That's what I mean. We'll have to take out those.
I went and wheezed like four times during that.
Oh, no. I think all that should be fine. So. All right,
cool.
Okay.
All right, everyone. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much. Just a quick reminder, we've got the Facebook page, which I'll just bring up here for you. Don't forget, like and stuff like that. Leave us a message. Leave us whatever you reckon.
Can I give a message?
Oh, certainly.
Please, like, if you don't mind. Rather than complain about shit, fucking, like, do something about it. Like, I always hear people like, and this is, like, it's not even out of context what we're talking about, like, you know, if you're gonna like judge any of this or judge something, like just in general of what you're seeing out there, just fucking like do something about it, and just don't sit there and be a little bitch and a little fuckwit and just whinge about shit and do nothing for your society.
You know what's even
get
better?
Get out there, you fuckwit.
You know what's
post,
even better?
Yeah,
if you've got to
here, you know, and give us suggestions, and if you think we're wrong with something, let us know and
we'll argue the point. Huh?
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, we love the interaction with people with the podcast so far. I would say that, if, as you say, if you've got, like, you know, make that action either, like, you know, giving us some feedback on the podcast or even, you know what, like some people have gotten out of the woodwork and said they want to be a guest on the podcast, come on the podcast. Like, we're a very open forum here. Like, we try to portray not a set way of thinking, you know, try to have an open, approach to every subject. And while we do have some rants and some passions about certain subjects, I actively encourage. You know what? It's just a wank fest when it's all the same opinions. You know, yeah, and that's the thing. You tend to like shape your circle of friends around people that think the same way. But you know what? That's one of the cool things about online, is that you are constantly sort of challenged with different points of view and you know, different ways of thinking. And it certainly opened my mind to sort of, you know, pulling me back from, like we were talking about on a last podcast, of being like down that conspiratorial rabbit hole.
Mm.
And the internet has actually served as a way to sort of, you know, provide another point of view on that stuff, and, you know, provide some, you know, look, you know, you've been thinking this for so long and here's some actual evidence to the contrary. So I think the podcast is a good forum for that. So bring on the comments and for sure. People that want to,
don't forget about our YouTube page, of course, subscribe, leave some comments and stuff on there as well.
Have you ever thought about doing like a little musical thing on your podcast? Like,
I want to keep it sort of like a musical focus on it. I'd love to get some more musicians on and talk about
musical.
How do you mean, like playing some shit?
Yeah, like have someone come in and cover a Pete Murray song that we're discussing.
Whatever. Wants to come in.
Because I'll do a parody of anything. You just give me a song and it's like 2 hours. Done.
We'll lock that in for Pete Sauce's number 2 visit. Is Saucer. A parody of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something. But make it like not a song that can be played on guitar easily. Make it like what?
Through the fire and flames.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah. No, look, I'd love to, for the podcast to be a promotional tool for other shit. And, you know, as I said earlier in the podcast, you know, we've got both of us being in Menace, and we can use this as kind of like, you know, a promotional tool for new shit that's coming out with the band and our individual projects that we're doing, you know, fucking play a bit of that love on the podcast. So that'll all be stuff that we'll look at the future. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in. It's been a long cast. If you've made it this long, fucking salute to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys.
And we will be back very soon.
Thanks for Pete Sauce.
Thanks for getting me tipsy and let me suck on your big black box.
Fuck yeah. Suck on my big black box as we go out to the break. See you later next time.
See ya. Peace.